Castlelake Spare Time Bowling Show on 105.7 FM. The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Wade Albrecht here as well from the Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin. Dwight, how are you doing this morning, buddy?
Good morning, Sparky. Week one.
Week one? You were waiting for me in the parking lot.
How about that, huh?
And as soon as I saw Dwight sitting there, I said, well, it's week one. Because Dwight's never this early. No, buddy, is never this
I'm
early.
I'm just that excited to be here, Sparky.
Normally, Dwight rolls in about 59 and 30 seconds right before the start of the show.
Oh,
that's
man,
what we
man
see
McNeil
Dwight.
Taught me well.
Yes, he did. Okay, so Phil Breidler will be joining us as well. He's live on site of the PBA's event coming up this morning at 10 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. But first... I'm telling you, from where the PBA was to where the PBA is with this guy in charge is truly amazing. He is the commissioner of the PBA, Tom Clark, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Sparky and Dwight.
Morning, Tom.
It's awesome to hear. I love hearing that theme music and the show coming back. It's great to hear.
Hey, man, did you get a raise yet so you can buy us some breakfast over at Maddie's? No. I was just wondering.
No, I can still buy you breakfast anytime. But
no.
I don't. we're more concerned with getting the players' raises. To be honest with you, we got to keep building so that we can get this where we want it to be, so the players are bowling for more money. You know, and we're certainly on our way, and we've got a great chance, but greater chance now than ever. But still got to make that happen.
Okay, so I mean that's nice and humble of you and all that, and that's fine. But on behalf of you, this Fox deal, when it happened, I said, "Oh, buddy, this is going to put him on the map now." Not only because of it being Fox, you don't have to battle against the NFL as much anymore, which is great. But the other thing is, you get over the air TV. Now here in Milwaukee, we got screwed right off the bat the first event, and it aired at midnight. But
that's Packers problem.
Right. I was not happy. I tweeted about it. So fine. But at least now you get over the air events. And right away, the very first one that really wasn't it was a fun little get together, I guess you would call it, with, you know,
they
10 frame and stuff like that. Right.
Yeah.
And I recorded it. But that drew over a million people right off the bat, Tom.
Right.
It was the highest rated bowling show since 2005. And, you know, we talk about the NFL and battling the NFL. The NFL's been helping us. The Fox NFL team, the first week, the studio crew, Terry Bradshaw and Howie Long and those guys, they set up lanes in their studio and bowled to hype our show. This week, last night during the Cowboys-Seahawks game, they did like a full minute-long highlight reel of qualifying going on over here
nice.
In Arlington for the Hall of Fame Classic to hype today's show. You got Joe Buck, you know, talking about the Pro Bowlers Tour going on. I mean... It really is a new world, and not only, you know, did that great time slot for our first show give us the best rating we've had, but that show is re-aired about 50 times across the country, 14 times nationally, and then a bunch of times in local Fox, like Fox Wisconsin channel, airing it a bunch of times. So it's really a whole new world, and just commercials that you see. And as we're all fans of Rob Stone, and Rob's a big star now, and you know, Rob is hyping it everywhere he goes. So, there's definitely a different vibe because of Fox.
Yeah, the Rob Stone thing, obviously, that really just put it over the top. I was good, even if it wasn't going to be Rob Stone. I was fine with whatever you're going to do at this point. It didn't matter, because you're going to put yourself out in front of all these people that may never have seen the product before. So, for me, it was a win no matter who the play-by-play guy was. But then to go and get that guy who with the ham bone and everything else, and then you, as a PBA, embrace that whole ham bone thing and really kind of push that out there for everybody to know, I think that was a pretty cool deal, too. How receptive was he to you guys really pushing the ham bone thing?
Oh, Rob?
Yeah.
Oh, he loves it. I mean, he's actually kind of humble about it because he used to get so much criticism. That
sure did.
Like, I don't want to piss people off or anything. But the thing is, he embraces it. And as soon as we had the first ham bone on the first show, he let it go, ham bone, and it was great. I mean, you know, Rob actually is not only one of the most talented broadcasters in sports, but he's a leader at Fox, and his office is right around the corner from one of the top executives that I did all the deals with to bring the PBA to Fox. And it helped to have Rob you know, letting the executives know how great bowling is and what bowling can mean for the network. And so, I mean, Rob was a big part in bringing it back, and now to reunite with Randy and be back on the shows, he's pumped, man. He came last night to the Hall of Fame dinner that we had, and you know, he's a big fan of bowling, and has really enjoyed being a part of it.
That's what I was going to say is I thought when we first came in here that I'd actually bring my Peaches and Herb reunited for Sparky and Icing. It has been a year since we've been on the air, but you could just tell that him and Randy, you genuinely like each other, and the chemistry between them is so good. It just puts a smile on your face watching the two talk before and during the show.
It's real, you know. And now Randy has so many better tools to explain what's going on the lanes than ever, because we have this deal with Kegel Specto system.
Yes.
That enables us to track the ball. It's called Strike Tracker. And so you can see the ideal line for every mm-hmm. player, where they're looking at the arrows, where their ball's breaking, the speed, the rev rates. And you can do a lot better comparisons or figure out and analyze where a mistake was made on any given shot. And it really shows people how precise the professionals have to be to succeed out here. And you miss by one board, or, you know, sometimes even a half a board. Right. And a half inch, and it causes a different reaction. And I think that those statistics and those graphics elements that Fox made happen, because they're not cheap, you know, and Fox was able to, we've always wanted to do them, but we couldn't afford it. But with Fox, they said, we like it, let's do it. And that's really elevated the show immediately as well.
Okay, so I'm just blown away by this whole thing, to be honest with you. I mean, I watched that show, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, just everything that's gone into the production of this. I'll tell you something else that I liked, and we'll really get into that first show, me and Dwight, once you get ready for your show over there. But what I really liked was the player intros and the player profiles of each guy before they did their first 10 frame. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very, very well done.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, well, that was kind of the idea of the show, to introduce a new audience to our top players. You know, Fox, again, came out to Oklahoma when we had a summer swing, this or fall swing last year, and filmed a bunch of stuff with, you know, more expensive cameras than we've ever been able to use, you know, to do bios on all the top players. And so we were able to, so we have them on stock and we can run them in. And of course, this first show, we've got all superstars this morning, you know, and so we're loaded for bear there. I don't know how many profiles we can do, because it's not, you know, taped, but it's live. And so there's a little bit of a different dynamic there, but we definitely will roll in the type of hero shots that really just, again, elevate a production and elevate the importance of a sport.
The 2019 PBA Hall of Fame Classic is what Tom is talking about, and it's pretty cool being pregame. Never been pregame on this show before, ever.
Well, it's another great example of just the communication with Fox's programming. And at first, they actually thought that we wanted to be on against the NFL on Sundays, because we just have been. So they just thought that was our schedule. And I explained to them that, no, we don't.
What? Who the hell would want to be on against the National Football League?
Well, you wouldn't word it that way, but you would word it as Sunday at 1, you know?
And, right.
And so they just thought that's when our finals were.
Ah!
And I explained to them that, no, that's a programming decision by a network. And when we talked about this week, the initial idea was it's Sunday at 1. And I said, well, you know, can we come on one Eastern? Can we come on, you know, at 11 and run for the 2 hours before people watch the football game? And they said, yes.
Perfect.
So, you know, and that's not the kind of answer I'm used to getting, you know, and when I'm begging with a network for better programming slots. So to have them say yes, move us up to be 10 a.m. Central, 11 Eastern, and people can relax, not thinking they're missing any football. You know, when we're done, you can watch the wild card games. And, you know, it's just another example. There's other examples throughout the year that are like that. For example, we're going to do 9 o'clock Monday nights once we get to April for our PBA playoffs.
And that's 9 o'clock Eastern?
9 o'clock Eastern.
So 8 Central.
Time, right. 8 Central during during our playoff run, but the first one, the first show, is actually on the night of the NCAA Bat National Championship game. And the game starts at 9 o'clock at night, Eastern. So I said, can we come on at 7 that night? And they said, yes. So we'll be on at 7 that night, end at 9, and then you can watch the basketball game. So they're moving us around to give us the best chance to succeed.
During the clash, when I was watching it, I thought, well, if this was a test, in my eyes, you guys passed the test, and then obviously then some. What do you think was the reason why so many people tuned in to that show? Was it because of the Fox versus ESPN?
Well, time slots are really everything when it comes to ratings, and lead-ins are important. And the NFL is just the most popular pro show on television. It's the thing that most people watch, you know, as a community in this country. So when you can be on the network, on Fox, after a NFL game, you're given a great opportunity. I mean, that was the win to even just get that slot. So, you know, now it's up to us to hold the audience the best that we can and interest people enough. And it wasn't like a slam dunk easy one, because the game didn't just end and then all of a sudden we came on. There was a half-hour post-game show. We were on at the same time that the Saints and Steelers were playing on the other channel. So you know, it wasn't like it was easy competition, but it's still, you start with a bigger pool of people and on a broadcast network that reaches 120 million homes as opposed to a cable channel that reaches maybe 85 million homes. And so all those factors meant that it was going to be a great potential for us to be the highest rated show we've had in 13 years and actually highest in 20 years, because the one that was higher in 2005 was really like a fluke. It was a blizzard, you know, across the country that day, and everybody was locked in their homes. Yep. So ratings were good everywhere that day. But you know, it really starts with time slots. Like this week, you're not going to expect today's show to do a number similar to what that show did. And it doesn't have that much to do with the content of the show. It has to do, you know, we're bowling, we're professional bowling. These are the best bowlers in the world. That's our show. So now you're fighting to get the better time slots and the better promotion so you can maximize your audience.
You know, the other thing I was thinking about just sitting here was, because when I was on my way in today, I saw Oscar, and you shouldn't be looking at Twitter when you drive, so don't listen to me, but I saw Oscar tweet, you know, the lineup today or whatever else, and then I retweeted it, promoted this show coming up. How much are you guys paying attention to the whole social media aspect now that you're on FS1 and Fox, as far as putting their Twitter handles out there and stuff like that when they're on TV?
Oh, big time. I mean, they help us. They're helping us promote more so than ever before. The Fox Sports PR team is really into it, and they, you know, we're a new shiny object to them, you know, so they really want to help us. We have new hashtags. The hashtag Chasing 300 is what we're using to define the Fox PBA relationship, because it kind of symbolizes our joint striving for perfection, and makes you think about bowling perfection and with the 300. And so we're using that together. But you know, one thing we've always tried to do with our fans is get them to share and retweet so that we can build our own marketing. And so to have another reason to get excited for things, because you have a great media empire like Fox behind you, hopefully the fans learn to retweet and share everything that's going on with bowling so that Fox feels good about their investment.
Well, the other thing, too, is I from my standpoint, what I was talking about was talking with Tom Clark, commissioner of the PBA, here on the Castle Lane Spare Time Bowling Show, was, you know, when Oscar Palermo is up to bowl or whatever else, having his Twitter handle there on TV for people that they want to follow him, or Jason Belmonte's Twitter handle.
Right.
Because these guys, like you said, the bowlers themselves, I think, from the first World Series of Bowling that I went to where not a lot of these guys really were digging social media or wanting to do it, to where we are now, these guys do a way, way better job than they used to as far as promoting the sport and being active on social media. And I think you can increase the people following them and everything else if we incorporate it to the TV product.
You're exactly right. You know what? And Belmo, who is, you know, obviously been the top player for the last 8-10 years, he actually came to me a couple weeks ago and said, you know, what if I live tweeted while I'm on the show? and just interacted with fans when I could, you know, while the show's going on. And I said, absolutely. And we've already were more lax with our rules than almost any other sport, in that we encourage the players to interact on social media, not only to promote things, but actually while they're competing, if they want to. And Belmo steps right up and says he wants to do that. Now, I don't know if we've perfected it for this morning or not, but yeah, you know, the more we can build the following for every one of our players on Twitter, on Instagram, the more people become attached to them, the more they want to watch them compete and have a rooting interest. And again, that's what sports is all about. So, you know, a guy like Belmo is a superstar in our sport, and he really should have 10 times the amount of followers. And he does an incredible job on social media. And I think that you'll see that he will pretty soon. I think it'll grow faster because people are going to get into this season week to week to week. And as we build towards the playoffs, and it's, you know, it's pretty exciting to kind of envision that.
Another direction that I think you also have forgotten, and that's near and dear to your heart, and we're so proud to have it in the shop now, is Flo Boeing. And talking about social media yesterday, even last night, it was like every other post on Facebook was some sort of cover from Flo Boeing, letting the fans know on updates. Can you explain a little bit about that and Flo Boeing, Tom?
Yeah, Flo, yeah. I almost feel bad that Flo sometimes gets lost because of the excitement over Fox, but it's really both media entities happening at the same time that are giving us this great chance, because Flo Boeing is a real leader and growing as a digital streaming sports property, and they're covering bowling like you've never seen. It's like a dream come true for any Extra Frame fan. I mean, how much was I hyping Extra Frame for all these years with you guys, and you've helped me? But we built that audience up to a number. Flo Boeing came, bought the rights, and now they're investing five times the amount of money into the production values of our live streaming, so people can watch every single pair of competition as it's going on live. You can choose which lanes you want to watch. You can follow one player all the way through a tournament. And they've done a bunch of you know, tips segments and feature stories, and you're going to be seeing a lot of great features on the players that are going to circulate all through their social media that they've started. They started their own website covering bowling, flowbowling.com. And so, you know, that in conjunction with Fox is really why that it's really perfect for the bowling fan to have both.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is when I have people come into the shop, and obviously a pro shop right now at this time of the year is very busy. Just yesterday alone, I probably had a dozen people tell me, is that live? Because I, of course, have it on our TV in the shop.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yes, they're down in Arlington at the Hall of Fame Classic Tournament. And, you know, it helps them because the lines are very long right now, but they get involved and start asking questions, and they're commenting on, you know, their favorite bowler, be it Belmo or whoever, and how's EJ doing? You know, where is he at? You know, type of deal. So it interjects them into the time in the shop.
Now, if we could only have other pro shop owners do what you do, Dwight, we'd really be off to
Dwight,
doing
Dwight
something.
Dwight has it perfect. He's got it on Roku. He's got it playing all the time.
Right.
He's playing archive stuff. And, yeah, I think more and more, there are a lot of pro shops that have that same idea, but they're missing out if they don't do it.
And bowling alleys are now getting it, too. One of my customers now took over Motion Plus.
Okay.
And he has it on his TVs also now.
Perfect. Yeah. Yep, that's what you want to hear. So, Tom, the next dream is now pay-per-view bowling. I think that's the next big event, right? One big pay-per-view a month.
Here comes the idea question.
Right, one big pay-per-view a month, Tom. That's the next thing you got to work on.
Well, maybe Tiger and Phil will bowl next time. It'd be more exciting, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah. I can't say I really watched that to begin with, so I'll take you at your word for that. Tom Clark, thanks so much, man. And again, don't forget the Hall of Fame Classic coming up today, 10 o'clock, so we're pregaming it on FS1. When we're done, turn on FS1, and lots of good bowling coming up this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Betcha. Bye-bye. There he is, Tom Clark on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. The job that he has done.
Outstanding. Just outstanding.
Where the sport was when he was here. Everybody kind of wondering where it was going.
Right.
And then to drop the bombshell of, oh, here's Flo Boeing. And then to drop the next bombshell of, oh, here's Fox Sports deal that we're doing. Oh, by the way, here are live tournaments that we're going to be doing. We're not taping every other damn thing under the sun anymore. Not that the casual fan even knew they were taped anyhow. But that's still a bigger deal, I think, for the bowlers, knowing that it's live.
Well, the one of the funniest things was getting a text from you on how excited you were in the text.
Oh, buddy.
And I knew a couple of days even before you sent the text out to me, because Tom was in the shop.
Sure.
Tell me everything about it. So when your text came in, I just
had
a pretty good laugh.
I was going nuts. Absolutely going nuts when I saw it. I told Gary and Rami, those guys in the studio.
I just got all giddy.
And I said, this is a game changer for this sport.
This is big.
This is a game changer for this sport. Yeah. And my next thing that came out of my mouth after that was NASCAR's in trouble because they're going the wrong way and the PBA is coming up the right way at this point. And they may pass in the night here as far as ratings go and everything else. All right, coming up next, we'll talk about that very first broadcast on Fox a couple of weeks ago, I guess it's been already now, the PBA clash, as they called it. We'll discuss that coming up next. It's the Castle Lite Spare Time Bowling Show here on The Fan. Castle Lite Spare Time Bowling Show. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Dwight Albrecht here on a Sunday morning, 9:25. You know, back when I used to do the morning show, they always said, make sure to tell the time on the radio. Okay. Dwight Albrecht here as well. Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin. And Dwight, you said you were busy in the last segment. Just how busy have you been?
Well, every year. I mean, 35 years now we've been doing it. I mean, so there's times of the year that it's a little slow and times of the
summer.
Year that it's busy.
Yep.
And so it's great to obviously be busy. And I'm going to be in the shop all day trying to get caught up a little bit today to get all the balls drilled. It's just time commitments to get everything done. But it's wonderful to see the excitement in bowlers locally and nationally now.
Yeah, it's awesome. And Fox, the PBA Clash. I said in the first segment with Commissioner Tom Clark, thanks again for him for coming on from the PBA Tour, the player intros and profiles, I thought was very, very well done. I mean, those guys, you could tell, some of them acted like they were NFL players, and some of them just did whatever they wanted to do. It was good.
It was professional. It was classy. It was well done.
I liked it. I really did.
Like I said, if it was a test, they clearly passed the test.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they learned everything that they maybe made a mistake under the old format with, and they just cleaned everything up so well.
Well, the other thing is, I think they are now being allowed to do stuff they wanted to do the whole time that ESPN
maybe they couldn't.
Didn't want to put the funds into or the money into. And now Fox is. Okay, this strike track graphic.
Oh, I know. You know, I'm a geeky guy.
I thought of you. Oh, boy, did I.
Oh, and I loved it.
I saw this, and I was like, holy crap.
I could tell you a half-hour story.
Okay, strike track graphic. So first it tells you, if you haven't seen this, it's on the right side of the screen, and it's like the whole bowling lane on the right side of the screen. And it even shows you where the arrows are and where the pins are and the whole deal. And this graphic at the top, I wrote this all down so I didn't forget. Has miles per hour, which you could get at your local bowling alley when you throw a ball, right? It shows you that.
Yeah. Okay.
Revolutions, right? And you don't necessarily get that at the bowling alley.
No, you won't.
But you get revolutions, okay? Yeah. So that's, okay, fine, whatever. But the geeky part that this guy here likes is now it shows you what board it's rolling over when it gets to the arrows, right?
Right.
And then the next one is what they call the break point when the ball starts to curve. For those of you listening on the radio, when the ball starts to curve, what board that is and where it is. And the whole path is like a little line on this fake alley as you see it. And then it says first shot. And then it gives you another thing that says ideal shot and draws another line as well. So
And that's about 20% of what Spectal can really cover. I mean, they can cover a lot more. So I'll take my half an hour story, condense it to about a minute. So
go ahead. Phil Brilo's up in like 10 minutes, so do what you want to do.
One of the timing of everything in life, one of the greatest things I had a chance to do was the years of 1999 to 2001, USBC, when they were out in South 76 across from Southridge, they did what was called CATS. CATS stood for computer-aided tracking system. So they used solar and lenses to track the ball going down the lane. Spectal uses, I believe, cameras, four different cameras on the lane to tell all the information. But the two are very, very similar. The only thing I was going to tell Tom, being the geek that I am, and what they taught me during CATS, and this is where I'm going with this, is at that time, again, there was a technology then, the years of 1999 and 2001, what they said is when the ball entered the pocket at 17th board, your chances of leaving a 10 pin were 99 out of 100 shots. if you hit the pocket at 18th board, and I know now those numbers have changed. I just did a little research last night. They're about another inch to the right of that, that you would get a strike 99 out of 100 times. Well, the current technology has it about 85% that USB-C did. But I know they can give that stat, and that where it could help the viewer is if the pro leaves a 10-pin, well, now you know why they left the 10-pin, because they were 1 inch off of that flush pocket strike 60 feet away. So I know they can incorporate that.
And they probably will
Spectol,
as they go. That right. first show was pretty... It was a fun show, right? Kind of like an exhibition type deal.
Well, yeah.
It was a two series. Today will be far more serious. Today will be a regular show. But that PBA class show was just, let's reintroduce everybody to the PBA that's ever checked us out before, give everybody some of the stars, let everybody figure out Rob Stone in bowling that is not the same Rob Stone as he is in soccer, mm-hmm. And kind of get a gist of it all. I think today you might see a little bit more geekiness as you're looking for.
When I was watching Spectol, the first thing that popped in my head was if you watch the U.S. Open on Fox, they yeah. have that shot tracker. So when the pro hits the ball, they have the same yep. line tracer. So that immediately is what entered my head. But the thing that I liked about it was the speed and rev rate, because so many local top bowlers are trying to compare themselves to the to the pros, and now they have that ability to see what the pro shots are.
The other thing that I really liked was the actual path that it showed on the lane
yeah.
when they shot the ball. You could see like this little white path that yes. went, and then it stayed there through the next shot to give you an idea.
Right.
So
how
that,
accurate they were.
Right. To me, I love that just as much as I love the whole strike tracker thing oh. on the right side. Now, there's a bunch of numbers going on the right
yes.
side there. So you're probably going to lose some fans who are like, I have no idea what that is. I don't even care about that. I'm just going to watch the show. And then there are going to be others that are true bowlers, which yep. are probably a lot of people that watch this show. They're going to get down with that whole thing on the right side and love it.
Right. The one thing you did miss, though, is every time we get a pro on, their comment is, I watch what the ball does when it goes through the pins.
Right.
And with Spectol, you actually saw what the ball did
right.
when it hit the pins, how it went through the 1.359.
Yep.
So that's the part that
awesome.
I was watching was the line. It even showed the line the ball took when it went through the pins. That's
right.
What's so cool.
It's absolutely awesome. Absolutely
yep.
loved it.
I love technology and bowling.
Right. Okay. So that was awesome. I loved having Rob Stone back.
Oh. Poor man was dying to say Hambone that whole
right.
show, and he had to wait till the ninth frame of the last game.
Big, big fan of having him back. I'm looking forward to seeing how this develops and if he has any new sayings and that type of stuff.
Oh, he did give us a Yahtzee in there.
He did, yes. He just gets so excited on stuff. That's what I think I love the most. Like,
right.
he just gets so excited.
Right.
Okay, the other thing I want to get to before we get to Phil Brilum. I've never been in my life. I don't know if you've been. But when they did the little bit on the Kegel Training Center and the technology that they have at the
right.
Kegel Training Center,
yep.
like all of that was amazing. I'm like, oh, my mm-hmm. God, I would love to do that. The mirrored one that they had, I think that was, I don't know how they do it or whatever else.
Yeah.
That looked like something out of a movie.
Well, Spectol, actually, there is one proprietor in town on 51st and Howard that has a pair of lanes that has Spectol on it. And one of the other things they have for teaching the bowlers targeting is something called the torch. And that's like a laser beam that comes from the top of the ceiling down. And I think you saw that in that bit too from Kegel.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So it's not just the printout of what every shot is. They also have other things like that light coming down from the ceiling.
Right.
Showing where your target is.
Yeah. I mean, I was amazed by the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Randy Pierce was like, oh, everybody come down here and try it. I was like, I'd love to. I mean, I'm
oh,
sure
yeah.
you have to pay through the nose.
Oh, yeah.
In order to use any of that stuff. They don't
yeah.
tell you that.
I think a half-day lesson down there is $500, I believe. Half day.
A half a day or half an hour?
Half-day lesson, I believe, is $500. I believe. I could
that
be
might,
a little off
that
on
might
that.
That might be totally worth it, a half a day.
Yeah, I've had a couple of customers go down there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In Florida. Yeah, they're looking
yeah,
in Florida.
That's, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up next, we will talk with Phil Brilum of Extra Fame and PBA.com, of course, working with Flow Bowling now. We'll get his thoughts because he's behind the scenes, so he can mm-hmm. tell you the difference and what really is going on with Flow Bowling now versus what they were using before, and I think it's going to blow your mind. We'll do that coming up next. Welcome back, Castle Lake Spare Time Bowling Show on 105.7 FM. The Fan, see Sparky Fiber, Dwight Albert, and our guy that's normally the co-host of the show, who is out and about probably more this year than he's ever been. He is Phil Brilo down at the PBA Hall of Fame Classic in Texas, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning, Sparky. Good morning, Dwight. Dwight, you'd love it right now. Geek that you are, I'm standing next to Earl the Bowling Robot in the Research Center. I've got five different oiling machines next to me. I've got all kinds of charts about carry percentage like you were just talking about before. You'd be in heaven right now, man.
Well, I was just telling Sparky between break that they actually renamed Cats to Bolts, B-O-L-T-S. And so they're working on a camera system similar to Spectro also.
Right.
So, yes, I love the numbers behind bowling.
Yeah, it's a neat little research center they have here in Arlington, Texas as well with the training center.
Still kind of bitter that it's not here, but I'll move on. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what you have going on with Extra Frame that people could still sign up with over at the PBA Tour. Flow Bowling now coming in to help run Extra Frame. Talk about the differences that what you're working with now versus what you had before.
Well, basically before is you were kind of at the mercy of our coverage on Extra Frame. We were limited in the number of pairs we could cover inside a bowling center. You had to deal with us talking all the time unless you turn the volume down. Now it's pretty neat. This week here in Arlington, we had all seven pairs that were in play covered with its own set of cameras and scoreboards. So not only could you keep an eye on what we call the flow zone now, which is we're finding highlights, things are going on, guys are on big strike strings, chasing 300, that type of thing. And you can even second screen as well. You can bring up two streams at the same time, keep us on the flow zone, and then if you want to follow Jason Belmonte all day, you have the ability to do so now. We didn't have that with Extra Frame, so it's really great. If you're a bowling fan, you should be watching Flow Bowling, no doubt about it.
So what's been the reaction like from the people that watched it before versus watching it now? I have to assume that they're blown away by it.
Yeah, absolutely. The players are blown away by it. The players, you know, we see them come up to the booth all the time and just going, hey, let guys know I'm going to be on this pair and that type of thing. So the players are really into it as well. And they know that the fans are, you know, are what's going to help grow Flow Bowling. And it's just been an unbelievable experience as we take, you know, a good product and we've made it absolutely great.
And this is where they could use social media too, though. I mean, they could get on social media before they start their next pair or whatever, if they're thinking about it, or have a family member or a girlfriend or a wife tweet out, hey, if you want to follow Bellamo, he's on this pair now. If you're over at flowbowling.com watching it, you could follow him on this pair. I think that's always good. How many people you got working on this now? Is it the same number of people or have they added people?
No, it's basically myself and Jeff Goodger came over from the Extra Frame crew. And it's basically the people that we get on site. Each event, Flow Sports out of Austin, they contract with local contractors to help us with camera operators or scoreboard operators. And you know, Jeff and I are basically heart and soul this thing. Curtis Von Kruger, who's the deputy commissioner of the PBA's son, he's our production assistant. He helps get everything done as well. And it's a good team that came over from Extra Frame to get this going for Flow Bowling. And then Flow's really committed the resources to us to help give the fans a better experience.
That's just amazing. How is viewership and sign up for this thing going?
I've heard it's good. I don't get the exact numbers because I'm a contractor with Flow Bowling.
Right.
But they are very happy with the results they are getting. And the thing with Flow Sports is we're just one of 24 different verticals that they have that fans can watch all kinds of sports. I know a few of the bowlers were fans of MMA. And so they had Flow Grapple, one of their verticals that they were already subscribers to. So if you subscribe to Flow Bowling, you get every other vertical along with that, with their, what they call Flow Sports Pro subscription.
Nice.
So, and you get all kinds of bonuses as a subscriber as well, because Flow Bowling is great on social media. They put highlights out there, like EJ Tackett at the first 300 of the season out there.
Right.
They had it on Facebook within 5 minutes of when it actually happened. They had video clips that they had taken separate from the Flow Bowling stream. But there's special things as a pro subscriber you get tips from the pros. Andrew Anderson's got some great tips out there right now. They just posted earlier today, and it really pays to be a pro subscriber to Flow Bowling.
How much does that cost?
It's $150 a year, so it's a little pricier than it was with Extra Frame, but you get a lot of other bonuses. Like I said, you get all those other channels you can watch. I was watching a wrestling meet right before New Year's Day from Chicago, big college wrestling meet, the Marshall Medium, I believe they call it, and it was pretty fun to watch. It was part of my Flow Bowling subscription. So
It's like 10, just over 10 bucks a month, something like that. Yeah, that's not bad at all.
I did not know that you could end up watching the other sports that they do offer on Flow Sports. I just thought the subscription was just for the bowling. And so now you're telling us that you can watch any of the other avenues that they offer?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they have an auto racing channel. They have a marching band channel for people who are in to watch.
Now you're talking. Now I'm in. Yeah. That's my thing right there. So, now you
actually,
got
me. One of our guys in Austin, Texas, Michael Gilley, who's now working with the bowling, he started with Flow Sports doing the marching band stuff. So it's pretty neat, all the different stuff and the value you get for your subscription. It's not just Flow Bowling. It's anything else that Flow Sports airs that you get for that just about $12.50 a month.
The thing that I saw this week differently than, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you haven't done is actually during one of the matches you interviewed EJ on the lanes.
Well, what happened was it was such a small center here with the ITRC. It's
right.
Only a 14-lane bowling center. And so we had to set up next to lane one. So we had to kind of be quiet on how we were talking and stuff like that. But we had a headset up available for the bowlers where they could come over and talk. And EJ was moving out from his other pair to one and two, and we were talking to Tom Clark at the time, and I just looked at EJ and I just pointed at my headset and I go, "You want to talk to Tom about your 300? Absolutely." And we just gave EJ the headset and away they went. So, now it's a little more opportunity for the bowlers if they want to stop by the booth. We have a booth where, you know, we can throw a headset on between games if they want to talk, that type of thing. So it's pretty neat that way. We get the ball reps in the booth. They talk about some of the technical aspects of the game. We get some players on occasion as well. We had Hall of Famer Mike Albee in the booth for a while this week talking about his great career.
Yeah, what made me laugh on EJ's comment was he was comparing his eyesight to the pitch of his thumb hole.
Yes. Zero and zero.
Oh my God. Oh my Lord.
Yeah, he was
that
right
was priceless.
Yeah, right before 300 he was trading glasses with Daria Payak. So on the WBT women's show. So it was kind of an amusing point, but you know, EJ throws the first 300 of the PBA Tour season, and big thing this year, chasing 300. Is a big thing here today on Fox. And, you know, they announced this week, too, if somebody shoots a 300 game on any of the Fox shows, not just for the $1 million, everybody in America gets a free game of bowling at their local bowling center.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. Every bowling center just found that out for the first time. So glad you could break that to the bowling proprietors. Hey, I got one other thing for you. Live shows, taking this thing out on the road with all the live shows they're going to do this year, that is, it's unbelievable. I didn't think they could ever get back to this point of having these many live shows again.
Well, it's pretty neat because yesterday, you know, here we are at Flow Bowling covering all the qualifying of the tournament, and we're in the same area where they need to set up TV the next day. And so it was amazing. The ballet we did, pulling our equipment out, they're pulling their equipment in and getting set up. And there is the crew that they have for these Fox Sports shows. It looks to be about twice as big as what I saw for a lot of the ESPN shows. So, you know, Fox is committing the resources to these live shows to make them the best they can. And they're going to do it week after week after week out here on tour. And I'm looking forward to getting out of their way and watching the shows.
The thing that I like with Flow Bowling the most, and Sparky always talks about when the cream rises to the top and you get the top vibe on TV. But for a fan of like a bowling like me, what I love the most about Flow Bowling is all the talent that's out there to the guys that don't make the shows, names, upcoming names that you don't hear about because obviously they don't make the top five on national TV. I didn't know EJ Tackett had a brother.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good too.
Yeah, Zach Tackett won his first regional title a couple of months back. So Zach is going to probably hit some of the stops in the Midwest a little later this year. And there's a good crop of candidates coming out that we're going to see more of next week. When we're in Shawnee, of guys that are going to be trying for this year's Rookie of the Year as well. We had Greg Young here this week, and there's quite a few more players getting ready to join him, like Packy Hanrahan. So that's a great bowling name. For some reason, I just like that bowling name, Packy, like Pack in the Pocket.
Oh, Packy. I thought you said khaki, like khaki pants. You said Packy.
No, Packy.
Packy.
Yeah, Packy, like packing the pocket.
Like packing the pocket. He is Phil Brilon, who'll be packing up his gear to get out of Texas here in just a little while. Phil, thanks so much. Looking forward to watching this TV show on Fox Sports 1.
Absolutely. I'm going to go try to grab a seat somewhere because it is full to the brim here in Arlington. And I'll talk to you guys next week from Shawnee.
There you go. There he is, Phil Brilon. On the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 19:35. Up next, we'll preview the TV show coming up at 10 o'clock, so about 12 minutes away from turning on Fox Sports 1 and watching the PBA Tour. We'll do that coming up next. We've actually stayed on the clock today. It's something very unusual. Clearly, week number one is what's happened. Steve Sparky, Fiverr Dwight Allberg, Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin. Go check them out. Buy a bowling ball. Get a bowling ball drilled, refitted, whatever the case may be. And just a reminder, you're in Wisconsin. Do not leave your bowling balls in your car when it's cold outside. Yes. Don't do this.
You're asking for it to crack.
Yeah. Just don't do it. Yep. You old guys know this, but these young kids nowadays, they, it'll be fine. No, it's not going to be, but you go ahead and try your luck and see what happens. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the PBA Tour coming up today here on Fox Sports 1. Looking forward to watching this show. I'll obviously miss the first part because I'll have it on DVR driving home. But the number 5 seed, Rhino Page, is the 5 seed. Barely beating out Jason Cerner, who was the 6 seed. EJ Tackett was 7. Sam Cooley, 8. DJ Archer, 9. Christopher Prather out of Plainfield, Illinois, was 10th. So you almost had Tackett in the show a couple spots back. Jesper Svensson, 4th. I am anxious to see how people react to some of these bowlers now that they're going to get to double a little bit more. Like Svensson. He's one of them. Bill O'Neill, 3rd. I like Bill O'Neill. Big fan. 2, Jason Belvati, Bill O'Neill's buddy, is 2nd. Everybody knows who he is already. The guy that makes me, I just feel uncomfortable watching him bowl. Dwight, how he releases the ball, it just is very, very awkward and weird. And then coming to find out that Peterson said he's putting all three fingers in the ball when he releases the ball the way he does. They should take like a close-up of him and slow it down. I haven't seen it. And slow it down and show people like how the release actually happens.
It's gross.
It's gross. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the way his wrist bends, a normal human can't do that. I don't know if he has no bones or joints in his wrist or whatever the deal is, but it's like Gumby.
Right? It is. Yes. It totally is. And it works for him, so nobody's going to tell him to change it.
And he throws mainly urethane, and he has a conventional fit. He doesn't even have fingertip. So everything on that release is abnormal.
Right. Okay, so between Rhino, Jesper, Bill O'Neill, Jason, and Jacob, those 5, who do you like?
I have to go with Belmo. And there's we probably need a whole hour for this, but there's a ton of social media this week, with all the rule changes coming still with bowling. This coming year about two-handed bowling, and Svensson's two-handed, and you got 2 two-handed bowlers out of the 5. But Belmo looked good all week. He can play that inside line when they break down. He shot, they showed 279 of him lofting gutter cappings during the week. They showed the whole game of him shooting 279, throwing the ball over the gutter capping. He does stuff with a bowling ball the average pro cannot do.
I would agree with that. Yeah. But what about Muttriff having the whole left side to himself?
Well, if he gets lined up, and obviously
he's bowling last.
Last, right? And the righty sides are going to, well, you got Svensson who's left-handed also.
Yeah, you'll have that. So the line will be screwed up a little bit. Yeah. To a degree, depending on how far he goes. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about Svensson being left-handed. Yeah. So that could be interesting. You could have 2 lefties in the final.
Possibly.
You could have 2 lefties.
Yeah.
That could be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'd like to see O'Neill against Belmo. They're such good friends. I'd like to see how they would interact with each other during that match. But I think Belmo wins.
Some of the other names on this list of the top 18, Tom Doherty, 17th. Kyle Troop, that'll be fun as people get to know Kyle Troop when he makes some TV shows. 14th, Tom Smallwood, 13th. Wes Malott, 12th. Stu Williams, who had a lot of Stu chants going on. The PBA Clash, 11th. DJ Archer, 9th. And then, of course, E.J. Tackett and Jason Cerner, 6th and 7th.
One guy that we watched all summer, an extra frame, and I think he's going to make a lot more shows this year. I think he'll be a household name as Chris Pather.
Oh, you're buying into Chris Pather, are you?
Extremely, extremely talented, gifted bowler. Watch for him this year.
And he's a, kind of local guy. I mean, from Illinois, from Plainfield, Illinois. So
incredible game.
Relatively close. One-handed guy?
Uses his thumb. Correct.
Good. So he's not bowling with two hands and correct. All that other stuff. Okay, so that's coming up today at 10 o'clock. We'll be back on the air now every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock going forward with the Castle Lanes Spare Time Bowling Show. And I'll just say we only have a couple minutes left, but if you would have told me, Dwight Albright, when we started this show years ago, that we would be sitting in this position with a PBA tour today, I think everybody would have said you're out of your mind, that you'd have the PBA on regular Fox Sports a few times throughout the year, over-the-air TV, which I never thought they'd ever get back to. Then you would tell me that they'd be on Fox Sports 1 and re-aired on all the regional Fox Sports throughout the week for those that people that missed it. That's crazy. Because remember, when you're on ESPN, yeah, they got ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN everything, but they weren't re-airing it the way this is getting re-aired all over the country with all the regional Fox Sports. The impact that this has on this sport is unbelievable.
It's a great time to be a bowling fan, and we have to thank our commish, Tom Clark, for having the vision to do all this. And now they have that spotlight. Now they have to take and run with it.
I was being nice because it was the first time we had Tom Clark on. But the next time we have Tom Clark on, I'm going to ask about sponsorships.
Right.
I said nothing this time. I was being nice.
I was going to go there too.
I was watching PBA Clash, and I'm looking for new sponsors along the little side billboards over the lane. I'm like, okay, who do we got? Who's new? At Barbasol, okay. Oh, we see Barbasol. Dexter, okay. All right, good. Whatever. And then you have the bowling companies. Okay. I'm waiting for my Budweiser, Miller. I'm waiting for a pop. I need a pop. Now, maybe the pop doesn't come till after year one. So you put all your cumulative numbers together, which are going to be gigantic, and then you go to your sponsors in year two and go, this is what we got in year one, where we're trying to get our feet underneath us at Fox Sports, and now this is year two, what it's going to be. You need to get on board. And that is what I'm expecting is going to happen. Year two is when you're going to see the pop. Year two is when these bowlers will start to make more money.
We have to get sponsorship out of bowling.
What?
We have to get sponsorship that is not bowling related, is what I'm saying. Other companies that it's the ball manufacturer's been keeping the tour on for too long. We got to get.
Agreed.
Right.
That's because there's nobody else.
Right. We have to get those other guys.
There is nobody else out there at this point. But there's going to be a bunch of people out there at this point now, because you're going to have the numbers.
Like PBA League last year had LL Bean. Right. More guys like that. That's what we need.
Correct. That's what you want. He is Dwight Albright, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. That'll wrap it up for the first week of the Castle Fair Time Bowling Show, our season premiere. Back again next week. And we'll talk about what happens coming up here at 10 o'clock on FS1 live show from Arlington, Texas, the PBA Hall of Fame Classic. Again, if you missed it, the 5 seed is Ronald Page, the 4 seed, Jesper Svensson, the 3 seed, Bill O'Neill, the 2nd seed, Jason Belmonte, and the 1st seed, Jacob Butcheriff. That is your lineup. Enjoy the rest of your day. College Basketball Show, Don with Chillis, comes up at noon here on The Fan. Toodles!